I know from some remarks on Sunday and Wednesday mornings that God has been speaking to you through what you've heard. For some, this is a fresh understanding of the kingdom of God, and for others, a reminder of God whom we serve and his sovereignty over the world. How much we need to hear at this time in history that the kingdom of God is, as the writer to Romans puts it in chapter 14, verse 17, a matter of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed how often that a commercial offer comes with a gift? A free pen, a box of wine, an iPad, or something else that gets your attention? How intrigued are you when it's prefixed by the word free? As if a gift should be anything other than free. Of course, there's no such thing in a commercial transaction as a free gift. It's an enticement to part with your money. How wonderful to know that to receive entry into God's kingdom is a gift of our loving and generous Father God. May I remind you that if you've not kept up with our series on a Sunday, or if you want to hear a message again, you can visit our website. Just type churchbytheriver.org.uk. You'll find it on the home page. Today, as we come to the sixth in our series about the kingdom of God, the kingdom is a treasure. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom is coming as we pray. Increase in us our desire to live under your authority, so that in the midst of a troubled world, we might know a life of goodness and peace and the joy of your kingdom. Open our eyes to see your hand at work, and may our hearts and minds be filled with confidence in your word of promise, that we will reign with your Son, our Saviour, in your kingdom, which will never pass away. Perhaps when I speak of treasure, you picture in your mind a chest full of gold, or a bag full of diamonds. Or maybe, if I ask you what treasures you have, it's a possession that you've been given by someone special, or a journal full of memories. If your home caught fire or was about to be flooded, there would probably be something you would almost unconsciously reach out to take with you. Jesus tells us here in Matthew 13 that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Not just any treasure, but the ultimate treasure, that a man, having found it, is prepared to give up everything he owns in order to possess it. We can, of course, relate most easily to physical things, and Jesus relates his parables in such a way that he gets our attention. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, not that it is, in this physical sense, buried in a box in a field. And he points out the motivation with which the man seeks to be in possession of it. Paul the Apostle, in his letter to the church in Philippi, writes about the priceless value of knowing Christ Jesus when looking at all his religious heritage and traditions. We read in chapter 3 from verse 7, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done." Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Paul's challenge to us is whether we will hold on to our religious treasures, or whether we'll consider these worthless in comparison to knowing Jesus. What are the religious treasures we cling to? During this time, I think we're being tested as to what we consider most important about our life of worship together. What things are we clinging to that we hope we'll go back to? Knowing Jesus is the most important thing next to making him known, and offering our worship in the midst of the church family, but focused on God alone. Will we be like the man who's prepared to give up every possession in order to allow our lives to be ordered by the rule and reign of God? It's so wonderful that we don't have to scrimp and save to gain what is most valuable. It comes as God's gift. But there are plenty of temptations to compartmentalize our lives, to hold back on allowing God to exercise full sovereignty in our lives. There are sometimes areas of our lives in which God is kept separate because we don't really trust his promises, but hold back what we think is control. God is sovereign, whether we acknowledge it or not, and surrendering to his rule and reign is the best decision we can ever take. The Apostle Paul came over a situation on his third missionary journey in Ephesus, the outcome of which was a remarkable giving up items of worldly value that were contrary to the message of the kingdom of God. Let me read it to you. Why not keep your finger in Matthew and turn to Acts? It's from Acts 19 and verse 13. A group of Jews was travelling from town to town casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly through Ephesus, to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honoured. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, and a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of the books was £3 or £4 million, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. What do we retain of value that is contrary to the kingdom of God? Will we be rid of it? Notice again in verse 20 the remarkable effect of their actions. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Now let's come to the second half of our reading in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 6. The kingdom of God is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. Here God is the merchant, his son Jesus, everything he owned, and you are the pearls of great price. Or you might say that the church is to be like the merchant, who gives everything over to the mission of reaching the lost, that they may become part of the kingdom too. I was reading this week a very sobering story in the New Testament church, which concerns not only our willingness to participate in the life of the church, but also the way in which we do it, the attitude of our hearts. In Acts 5, a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, sold some property and brought part of the proceeds to the apostles. Sounds laudable, doesn't it? But they claimed it was the full amount, and when they were questioned individually and held to an untrue story, they each fell to the floor and died. The outcome of the story we read in Acts 5 and verse 11. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. In the previous story in Ephesus we read, a solemn fear descended on the city and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honoured. Have we lost the sense of fear that the King is a holy and awesome God? Do we need to re-examine our hearts and our lives so that, like a stick of seaside rock candy, wherever our lives are broken or opened, others will see the name of Jesus written and the values of God's kingdom motivating our actions? Having received the treasure of the kingdom and come to terms with the fact that we are precious in God's sight, may the rule and reign of God take possession of us. And so, in the words of the writer to Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, who sees us as priceless treasure and gave up your only Son, our Saviour, to die on the cross, give us confidence in who you are. change our hearts so that we may worship you in spirit and truth, and give up our earthly treasures in order to possess the heavenly treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.